All right, hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. We are back with our 21st episode. It's only a one episode this week, and we were gonna knock out the recap from the previous weekend and then a preview on Baylor. But no Nate today, just Carson. Carson, how are you?
I'm doing good, JD. How are you?
I'm gonna dispute some claims on this show that I'm not a curse to the team, but other than that, I'm great. TCU had a good weekend, took two out of three from Kansas State. Offense looked alive. Talk to me. You got a smile on your face. Let me see. What are your thoughts right now?
Yeah, you could try and fight those allegations all you want. You are a curse when you attend baseball games. But moving past that, we'll get back on to it later. Yeah, offense, especially Friday, electrifying. I mean, that was that again, like we've said, that's the TCU offense that we expect. I mean, just Anthony Silva, one for three, but he accounts for three runs himself. Carson Bowen, two for four, Logan Maxwell, two for two. But the bottom half of the lineup, Luke Boyers, two for five, Sam Myers, three for five, Ryder Robinson, three for four. Hello. Where was this?
And it we even talked about it a little bit that their starting pitching, Kansas State's starting pitching, was not what the team has seen in previous series,
Right.
including against Tech. And they finally took advantage of it. They were jumping on first pitch fastballs. They were working counts. It looked like the team you saw the first month of the season, not the team we've seen the last 6 weeks.
Right.
And I think
Also,
it carries over, right? Like, pitching looked good. Everyone looked good. Like,
really quick, we got to give a shout out to Peyton Chatagnier. Clap it up for that dude.
yeah.
Holy, what a series! Oh
I
my
think
gosh.
they only had one fly ball the entire weekend.
I think so. And I think it came in the first game.
Yeah.
Rest of the series, he was awesome, dude. Oh man.
Yeah. If Peyton's getting hot, then this team gets deadly, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I think there's a conversation that I kind of want to have later that you're not gonna like, but I think it's
I already know what it's about.
but yeah, let's jump into it, right? Game one, 12-0 rout, just
Yeah.
absolute routing. Peyton Tolley shoved, by the way. What's new? Offense puts up one run in the first inning. You're like, wow, here we go. We're back to the stagnant offense. And then you get 4 run second inning, 4 run third inning, 2 run fourth inning, and 1 run in the sixth inning. They got 12 runs on 17 hits compared to Kansas State only getting 5 hits on the day. Peyton Tolley, 5 innings, 3 hits, 4 walks, which is a little uncharacteristic from what
I mean,
you've
that's
seen
just
from him.
like,
But 7 strikeouts and only 96 pitches, which is interesting. But I don't even want to talk about Peyton Tolley's pitching performance. I want to talk about Andrew Mosiello. 4 innings pitched, 2 hits allowed, 4 walks, six
yeah.
strikeouts, 67 pitches. Just hello, how you doing? Where you been all season?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the four walks that he had, but that's over 4 innings, and you're going up against a lineup that's known to be pretty good so
Yeah.
far this season. I mean, I'm fine if he walks twice as many as long as no runs score.
Yeah, two of the 5 hits for Kansas State, by the way, Kalen Culpepper, who arguably a top three shortstop in the entire country. So yeah, if two of the 5 hits that you're allowing are to him, then that's a
Yeah.
great day. And you expect that, right? You expect that those guys are gonna get theirs. We talked about against DBU, like with Grant Jay. When a player is that good, at a certain point they're gonna get to you, and it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw no Chase Brunson. As he's been dealing with an injury. We saw Sam Myers out in
Center.
center field, and
Jack
well,
Arthur
okay,
out in left.
we saw Chase Brunson at the beginning of the game. He
Yeah,
was there,
yeah.
and then he
Yeah,
did get
yeah.
hurt. But I believe it was early in the game. I want to say it was like the fourth inning, maybe. And he got hurt, and then we saw Jack Arthur come in, who I think we're going to talk a little bit about Jack Arthur in the second game when he started making an impact. But yeah, the team looked good, right? Every single starter except Chase Brunson got a hit, recorded a hit in this game, which is exactly what you want to see. You already talked about it. Sam Myers had 3 hits. Ryder Robinson, 3 hits. Peyton Chatagnier, 1 for 2, because he had 3 walks. Hello? Working counts now? Where, I think maybe it's a different approach that works, and who knows if it works more going forward. Yeah, first game was just a routing. Team looked good. They looked comfortable the entire time. Anything you want to talk about specifically when it comes to the first game?
I mean, I would probably just talk about Jack Arthur just because he doesn't. I mean, he looks just really good at the plate. He looks really calm, really composed.
Yeah, Jack Arthur was 2 for 2 on game one.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the best thing about seeing him succeed is that he's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got this guy for at least another 2 years potentially. And I mean, he looks like a natural hitter. Which we saw that in a game against UTA like a few weeks ago. And I think he went like 2 for 3 or something like that. And then we didn't see him in the weekend series after against Texas. I was like, okay, that's weird. I mean, a dude just had a really good game. We're not even going to give him a shot. Which Sarlos did address that in the post game Saturday. He did mention he was like, yeah, I probably messed up there, not playing him against Texas.
Well, see, the thing with Jack Arthur, too, is Jack Arthur hits for contact, but the man has insane power
He
that
does.
once he starts finally getting his timing right, because he's getting more consistent at bats, that I think that the power comes and he's going to be a. This team lacks power, right? We've talked about that all season, that
Yeah.
he could be a big power boost that this team needs at a good time.
Well, so oh, I totally forgot my train of thought. Darn. That was going to be interesting.
And we're going to talk about Jack Arthur later. Again, I'm kind of alluding to this question. I think you
Oh,
already
okay.
know where I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that Arthur's defense in left field was pretty good as well.
Yeah, it was very good. Sam Myers' defense center field is also
Oh my gosh.
fantastic.
Two insane catches.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. Wow.
And also, before we move on from game one, Luke Boyers, another homer. Hello? Where did this come from? The swing's pretty. It's so effortless. And he looks good right now. He looks very good out there. You always knew what you were getting from him in your defense. But the fact that he's now coming to the plate with a sense of power that we haven't really seen from Boyers in his career, that if this team's getting hot right now, you're coming up on key series that you need to come up on. All right, let's talk about the second game of the weekend. It was a doubleheader on Saturday because the Sunday game got moved due to weather that was impending. TCU won 7-4. They were trailing 3-1 going into the fourth inning before a 4-run sixth inning propelled them to a win. 7 runs, 7 hits. Just nice, consistent outing. We saw Luis Rodriguez struggle again. 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, only 1 strikeout on the game on 54 pitches. You saw Braden Sloan come in after that. 1.1 inning pitch, 3 hits, 2 walks, no strikeouts. Zach Courier came in, faced 2 batters, or faced 4 batters, and walked 2, got 1 strikeout. And then Ben Abelt came in for a 4-inning save. 4 hits allowed, 4 strikeouts, no walks, which is really good to see for Ben, on 53 pitches. Carson, on a game like that, it's a 2-game doubleheader, right? Is that when you're making a move like that to Ben Abelt, throwing your last 4 innings, you're pretty much saying, hey, we are going all out for the second game, right? Like we need to win this first game of the
Well, yeah.
doubleheader.
So I mean in the luncheon with Sarlos, I mean Barry texted us. He said that Lowe said that if TCU goes 6-3 in their three conference series, then TCU will be in a good spot for wherever they want to go. And I think that's him. I think that's Sarlos saying that. Yeah, we're gonna win this series. If we get the sweep, that's great. That's fantastic. You try to win every game, obviously, but I think he was guaranteeing the series with that save. Because it's not, I mean, 7-4 in the Big 12 is not a tight game, or not a like not that's like 3 runs is not a steady lead in the Big 12.
And they both look good, right?
Oh yeah, no, that was typical Abell. I think the most impactful performance was probably Braden Sloan. Believe
Are
it or
you are you
not.
are you ready to you ready to say the apology part? Yeah.
For who?
Braden Sloan.
I've been a day one Braden
You
Sloan.
said
What
don't
do you
put him back on
mean?
the mound until he was confident.
I said don't give him a start. Don't you do that to
Oh,
me.
that's a
Don't you
cop out.
gaslight. Don't
That's
you
a...
gaslight me. Don't you
Oh,
gaslight me.
and Nate's not here, so I can't get him on Zachary Poirier yet.
Oh no, we're gonna sick him on. Dude, that's gonna be insane.
Yeah.
But so Braden Sloan got 2 outs. I believe it was fifth inning. Yeah, fifth inning. He gets. There's two runners on second and third. Line drive hit to center field. This is where Sam Myers' defense comes into play. Dude, Myers lays out. That saves the inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that ends the inning. And that was massive. I'm still a little bit concerned about the 3 hits and 1 innings pitched from Sloan.
But none of those
But
hits Sloan gave up were really even like they barreled him up and got, a single. They were all seeing eye singles that just snuck through a part of the field and
I
kind of
mean,
like.
yeah.
That's the worst thing as a pitcher, right? Is whenever you're pitching well and the dude just throws his bat out there and finds grass.
Yeah, I'm more just highlighting that performance right there because that was probably the deal breaker. Because I mean, Kansas State gets 2 runs right there. They've got momentum,
Yeah.
and they've got a lot of it.
Yeah, it's I mean that game too, right? You're going into game three. You kind of already used Abelt. You've already used Sloan out the pen. Zach Coyer, I don't really know what you do with him if you do if you do get him, like could you throw him in the third game? Like
I think,
he threw 13 pitches. That was it. He faced three batters.
yeah. So if I'm the head coach, I'm probably not throwing him just because I think
You've already done your
throwing,
ramp up. You've done your bullpen.
yeah. A lot of people don't realize how much goes into, preparing to pitch. And then again, on the kind of the mental side of it, I think that would be draining as well, pitching in 2 games a day, which I mean, that's fine. When you're 11 and 12 years old, I can throw 180 pitches a day at 12 years old. But when it comes to college D1 baseball, that's
Yeah.
slight difference. Slight difference.
So you're going into the third game, right? And you already don't have Peyton Tolley, obviously, Louis Rodriguez.
Right.
You don't have Braden Sloan. You don't have Zach Coyer. You don't have Benebo, and you don't have Mosiello. You're already running a somewhat semi-thin bullpen of options that Sarlos is already comfortable using. So, circling back on the Benebo question, I'm perfectly okay with throwing him out there for 4 innings, sell out for that second game, secure the series victory.
Yeah.
And then just seeing what happens at that third game, especially if you won the second game, right? You're still carrying momentum over. You're to be debuting brand new jerseys that are absolutely sick, by the way. Like, why not? Let's just see what happens. It's baseball. Anything can happen. Talking about the offense a little bit in that game too. Peyton Chatagnier with 2 of the 7 hits for the team. Ryder Robinson got a hit. Jack Arthur had that double that scored 2 runs. Logan Maxwell had a double that scored a run. Carson Bowen had a hit. The offense did their job. They didn't look as pretty as they did in game one, right? But
Right.
they did what they needed to.
Yeah, I think the plate discipline was a little bit better as well. He had 6 walks, 2 of which, or no, I'm sorry, 4 walks, that kind of just came in that key inning for TCU, which I mean, I do think that there's a little bit of concern with the big inning and then not being able to do anything else kind of the rest of the game, just because those are signs of bad offensive teams. I'll go ahead and say it. But the approach from everybody overall was better than weeks past that we've seen.
Yeah, I think they definitely looked more comfortable at the plate. And it looked like they were going back to the roots of kind of having some fun. And I think that's huge as far as where they go moving forward.
Yeah, especially down the stretch here.
All right. Let's get into game three because I got some things I kind of want to talk about. Game three, TCU lost of the second game of the doubleheader on Saturday. They lost 6-3. They out hit Kansas State though. Cademan Parker got the start on the bump for Sunday, and 1.1 innings pitched, 2 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. Ben Hampton came in after 1.1 innings pitched, 1 hit, 2 runs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. I believe he came out of the game because he was, I don't know if he was sick or was dehydrated or
They think
something.
he was dehydrated.
Yeah, something along
Yeah.
those lines. Mason Bixby came in after the Ben Hampton occurrence. 1.2 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Good to see out of Mason only walking 1 and 1.2 innings pitched. And then Zach Morris. Hello? Zach Morris, 3.2 innings pitched, only allowed 1 hit, 6 strikeouts, no walks, by the way. No walks. And then Hunter Hodges came in, 1 inning pitched, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. Hello, Hunter Hodges. I've missed you so much. The offense kind of got a slow start, right? You were already trailing 6-0 before you even scored your first run, and you're already looking at an uphill battle. But the runs were scored by Jack Arthur with the triple. Sam Myers with the double down the right field line. Brad Robinson with the sacrifice fly. Yeah, I mean, it was just a good. It wasn't what you wanted, right? You didn't get the sweep you wanted, but you saw the team do what you needed them to do. Like Peyton Chatagnier going 2 for 2 in the third game because he had 2 walks with 2 hits. Jack Arthur showing up. There are some things that like I'm still a little kind of curious about. Like Anthony Silva, he still only batted 300 on the weekend, which is better than what he's been batting, but when the rest of your team's kind of hitting as well as they are, you kind of like to see them step up and get some good at bats.
You said Silva batted 300 on the weekend?
Yes.
It wasn't 300, buddy.
I'm looking at it right
Two
now. Was it lower?
for 11?
2 for okay. Yep, my math is wrong.
Yeah, so
Yes.
that's under one
187.
under 100, yeah.
Yeah, like a 187. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
there were
he's still fighting some demons, but
yeah. There were, I will say, two out of those 11, the balls were hit hard,
yeah.
but they were just kind of straight into center field. Yeah, I'm not sure what you tell him right now. I'm sure there's somebody in the locker room that's got better words than I do, but I guess keep grinding away.
Yeah, it's pretty much all you can do, especially this late into the season, right?
Yeah.
It's too late to make a mechanical change. You can't really do anything at that point. You just got to keep doing what you've been doing all season and hope that it turns around, which is hard to do as a player, right? Like, it's already not been working, but I can't do anything physically or mentally to change what I've already been doing. I just got to hope the results change.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk some questions real quick. Carson,
All right.
what's going on with the Sunday starter role?
So, I mean, I think with TCU, I think it's what I've kind of found is that we have a lot of guys that can be really good for about 1 2/3 innings. After that, I think it's just kind of a toss up. So, I think we have two starters and a lot of bullpen guys because we've seen
Wait
Lewis.
a minute. You said we have two starters? Are you putting Lewis as a second starter?
Oh.
I think we have one starter right now.
Hang on, let me think about this. Let me think about this. Yeah.
Really? Really? Because I have a question that I'm trying to go a long way about, right? I'm going a long way about it.
Right. Right.
We saw 11 pitchers this weekend, and Cole Klecker wasn't one of them.
So Los mentioned that he and it. I asked him, was it because of a specific reason? He said it was matchup, which I was surprised about. I feel like if you've got Cole Klecker in the pen, I feel like you don't really care about matchup. You just need innings on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind seeing him go back into that role with the performances that he's had recently. I think he'll make his way back in back there at least this weekend or possibly next weekend. But yeah, that was really interesting to me.
Yeah, no Cole Klecker.
Yeah.
That kind of blew my mind. Do you think we're seeing a shakeup this upcoming weekend again with the rotation? Like maybe not even Lewis at Saturday?
Potentially. I mean,
I
there's
mean,
definitely there's reason to do that.
you're facing a Baylor team that isn't a great hitting team. That I think it now's right before you go to West Virginia, or you when you host West Virginia at home. Now is the time to let's figure out what our weekend rotation for that will be.
Right.
And I think it's a good, there's no midweek game. So you can't do a confidence booster for any of your bullpen guys like you like to see them do. That I kind of want to see Cole back on Saturday and call me crazy, but Zach Morris as my starting pitcher on Sunday.
I wouldn't hate it. Zach Morris
He's
looked
earned a better, he's
phenomenal.
earned a bigger role.
He's looked phenomenal his
Yeah.
past two outings.
The buzz cut did him well.
The buzz cut has done a lot of guys well.
Yeah.
That was hilarious to me when I showed up to the field on Friday. That was super funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you want to, so Los kind of he pitched to where you win game one and two against K-State. Would we be okay if he did that the rest of the way? If he just went for game one and two and kept Morris in the pen, kept Hodges for game one and two, obviously, you keep just all of your good pitchers that are playing well right now. I mean, would we be okay of that with
Call
that?
me crazy, but I think he's already been doing it. The offense just hasn't been there. Because we've already kind of seen Sunday be your bullpen game in a
Yeah,
way
well,
that you
so
save
okay.
your good guys for Friday, Saturday. Like
So
when's the last time we saw Abelt on a Friday night? Because he saved for Saturday because you have Peyton Tolley on your Friday night.
it's probably beginning of the season, at least.
Yeah. Because he's going, you got Peyton Tolley, he's going to do exactly what you need him to do on Friday night. So you
Yeah.
don't, and you don't want to use Abelt because if you're thinking matchups, you don't want to go straight to another lefty who's still throwing from a funky angle, but it's still, you're picking up from the around the same point of view that most of the time we see him go to like Zach Coyer after Tolley, or we saw him go to Mosiello, who throws a little bit slower and just funky stuff, right? Like,
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like the Mosiello and Coyer, like that works after Tolley a lot.
yeah.
Because Coyer just kind of throws from a conventional arm slot, but it's got a lot of inside run on his fastball. That's why he succeeded here lately. It's because
Yeah.
he's got a lot of ground outs. Yeah, I mean I wouldn't mind seeing Morris in the Sunday starter role, but I mean, I feel like in the Big 12, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. The Big 12 is a step down from the SEC this year in baseball. Okay? We can agree
No,
on
you
that.
don't say.
Well, yeah, I'm stating the obvious.
Big
Don't yell
12.
it. Stop yelling at me.
Big
That's
12
not
is the
nice.
Big 12 is
That's
the
not
third
nice.
best conference of baseball.
That's not nice. Stop yelling at me. You don't have to
Yeah.
do that. You don't have to do that.
I'm going to because you're about to start yelling at me for the next question I'm going to bring up after you're done.
So yeah. So in the SEC, you've got SEC and ACC. I'll go ahead and throw them in there. You've got Sunday starters that can give you 4 or 5 innings. Big 12, it's a lot different. And it's not just for like the bottom eight or nine teams. No, it's for everybody. Every Sunday starter has a worse ERA than your Friday and Saturday guys. Which I think that's just kind of become common in the Big 12. Because those are your bullpen games. Those are you fighting to not get swept or to go win a series. So those are going to be the most important, which is kind of surprising that people haven't moved one of their Friday or Saturday starters to Sunday yet. But I mean, we could see Los do that.
I don't know. I don't like that because it's the same thing that like we've talked about, not on here, but you and I have talked in person together about how a team like DBU or Texas State will save their ace for a midweek game and then still drop it because it's baseball, right? Like anything can happen. You could get lit up at any point.
Right.
So like let's just totally does well on the Friday night. I don't want to change it. You want to set that
Oh
tone.
no, I'm not saying that TCU needs to do that,
Yeah.
but I'm just like I'm surprised that other teams haven't tried to do that. Which I think I want to say it was West Virginia that attempted to do that last year, but
Well,
then team.
I know Tech shuffles their guys like constantly. Like your Friday starters now, your Saturday or your Sunday the next week. So I think that's what they do and try to, but they do it through matchups. It's odd.
Okay, I mean, I kind of get it, but
All right. I'm gonna start a dialogue.
all right.
Chase Brunson comes back.
Okay.
Sam Myers.
Okay.
Left field. Chase Brunson in center. Luke Boyes in right. You got a DH spot. You got Logan Maxwell and you got Jake Arthur. Are you benching Jake Arthur again? Or are you
Logan Maxwell.
maybe keeping Jack Arthur in left field and sitting Brunson?
So Maxwell went like 4 for 11 or something like that. So I don't know.
It's
I
better
mean,
than the
that's tough,
180
dude.
something he was hitting for the month of April that we talked about last episode.
I think before you start that dialogue, I think we got to start a dialogue on Anthony Silva.
There's no one that we can play at shortstop, though, that offers the same defensive
That's the
prowess.
problem. That's the problem. But I mean, again, you got to score to win.
No one was scoring until this weekend, though.
I mean, yeah. I'll retract what I said. I don't think you can take Silva out just because of the defense. The defense has been great all year. But yeah, you're kind of stuck in an odd spot with
I'm
Jack
okay with
Arthur
keeping.
performing.
I'm okay with keeping Silva in because at least his at bats are competitive, right? Like,
Yeah.
yeah, maybe sometimes he has bad contact and it's just a little dribbler, but it's not like he's going up there and chasing the ball or looking uncompetitive in his at bats.
Right.
Like, I feel like Anthony Silva is the perfect example of right now is you keep saying it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen, but it hasn't happened, and then it's gonna happen. Hopefully, keeping
Right.
my fingers crossed. But like he's there, he's on the border. We've been talking about that for like 4 weeks now that he's so close to getting it turned around. And he hasn't strayed from that. But yeah, the Logan Maxwell and Jack Arthur conversation is kind of interesting, especially because Logan Maxwell hasn't been in left because of the leg injury. So he's still somewhat
Right.
nursing it that you're trying to take care of him. But if you got Jack Arthur, who's
So
perfectly capable and not injured. Just raises a question of like, what do you do with a guy that comes in, performs, does his job, does it well, but then the player he came in and replaced who was injured is back now?
right. I mean, I think you would have to go. I don't know, man. I liked Sam Myers in center field defensively a
And
lot.
but there's also no way you set Logan Maxwell. It's a Logan Maxwell.
Yeah, no, he you can't sit him because he's
But you can't say Chase Brunson, who's hitting over 300 on the season.
Maxwell has had one 0 for 4/5 game this year.
Yeah.
Like you can't take him.
And Chase Brunson's hitting 313
That's
right now.
yeah, no, that's going to be difficult difficult move. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they just split time at DH.
Yeah, Chase
Him
Brunson is
and
hitting
Arthur.
280 in conference play.
Yeah.
Logan Maxwell's hitting 303 in conference play. Luke Boyd's is 303. Sam Myers 338, by the way. And I mean, Jack Arthur's hitting 333. He's got four hits and 12 at bats. Like, you're
Yeah.
in for a tough conversation that you're not gonna want to have.
This seeing how and if they split time will be really interesting. That'll be really interesting.
I think maybe because Kirk is a big matchup guy that maybe he goes to Jack Arthur for right for a lefty on the mound and
Yeah, that's fine.
which like I mean but it's also kind of the same conversation we talked about earlier where like you want to give guys their at bats, let them get comfortable in the box. Especially
Yeah.
if you're DHing and it's all you're doing is how you stay engaged in the game. By the way, we're talking about batting averages on the team. Do you want to guess who has the lowest conference batting average?
Anthony Silva?
No.
Really?
It's Carson Bowen.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Silva is right there. Carson Bowen's at a 167. Silva's 175. Curtis Byrne, 195. Peyton Chenier's above 200 now. He's at 205. Ryan Robinson, 213. The thing is like Carson Bowen is 24 strikeouts to 11 walks. Anthony Silva, 18 strikeouts to 15 walks. Like, Curtis Byrne only has two walks on the season, by the way, or in the conference play. That's interesting.
He's been very aggressive this year.
Yeah, I like it.
Very aggressive.
His just aren't resulting in hits, which is okay. That happens.
Carson Bowen, I mean, he's first of all, he's having an off year, obviously. I mean, we've said this before, but I mean, he hits balls on a line just right to the outfield at least once every game.
Yeah.
I'm really not worried about him. It's been just luck that he hasn't gone insane yet.
Oh yeah. It needs I mean, I don't want to bench anyone anymore. Like,
No.
I'm kind of okay with I talked about it before that I didn't really care to bench anyone to begin with because you got to get your reps in. But like now it's even more so we're at a problem where you're gonna have to bench someone when Chase Brunson comes back, but who is it?
Yeah.
And it's a good problem to have. Yeah, I think that's kind of all the questions I had on the weekend. Let's talk some Baylor.
Yeah, we'll do a little quick preview.
Baylor, they suck. I hate them. But I don't hate Baylor as I okay. Actually, I do have
Podcast.
another.
End of the podcast. Let's just end it right there. No, that's good.
I do have
No, that's
another
actually
question.
good.
Do you feel the same hostility towards Baylor you do during football season, during baseball season? Or are they an afterthought to you in baseball season?
They were an afterthought, but for some reason, they have kind of put it together.
Yeah.
So they are currently, they're 20-23 on the year, which first glance, that doesn't look great. They're probably not going to make the field of 64. But for a team that released their roster 3 days before opening day, that's pretty good because we all thought this team was going to win like six games the entire year. Just because there was nobody that looked good last year. There was nobody that came into their program that had astonishing numbers. It seems like they've just been playing decent ball the entire year.
I think their schedule is a little bit misleading, because they're playing decent ball. They're playing better ball than you expected Baylor to
Yeah.
play going into the season, but they have a really good offense. Like, not really good, but like
I mean, they're gonna
for
score.
Baylor terms, they're really good.
They're gonna score.
Wesley Jordan 365 batting average on the season, only three home runs, but the man just hits. You got Ty Johnson, 304 batting average. Enzo Alpacata, 321. Cole Posey, who's just started playing again for them, 417 batting average. Like, they got guys that hits, but they're like TCU. They don't have power. Like, they don't have guys that are gonna hit everything over the fence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the home run numbers, and overall, they probably have us by 4 or 5. It looks like it's Cole Posey, Wesley Jordan, and Enzo Apicata that lead them. I mean, that's definitely more than TCU has, I think, just because I think our leading home run guys only have 5, and I think it's only Curtis Byrne.
We have, oh wait, I'm looking at conference play. I was
Or
not
Luke
looking.
Boyers probably has more than 5.
Luke Boyers and Curtis Byrne both have 5 home runs on the season.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, this there's more power in the lineup, but yeah, you're right about the level of play, or the level of their opponent. Because I mean, they get swept by West Virginia, obviously. And then they lose the series against Kansas, who hasn't been playing great recently.
Yeah.
And those are their two best opponents besides maybe DBU. Well, that was a midweek and it was canceled. Never mind.
Yeah.
Besides Ten,
Baylor's
besides
played a
Texas.
very easy conference schedule.
Yeah.
But their starting rotation is, I say worst objectively, but probably the worst that TCU has faced in a while.
Yeah, if TCU is going to sweep anybody going the rest of the way, it's Baylor. But what makes me nervous is that, first of all, Baylor's obviously coming off of a sweep. All right. You get swept, you kind of grit your teeth a little bit, you get a little bit pissed. All right. Second little factor in this equation, you're facing your rival who has bullied you the past few years in almost every sport besides basketball. Third, it's in Waco, which isn't, I mean, that's that. If I'm saying this 2 years ago, that's not a problem because there'd be a total of 36 people in the stands. That's just where their program was. But now there's a little bit of life, plus your rival coming to town. This makes me nervous.
Think it's a trap weekend?
I think it can be. Yeah, unfortunately, I think if you need to lock in any weekend, lock in for this one.
If TCU sweeps this weekend, they're in such a good position for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because you moved to, let's see, you
Oh,
moved
Star
to
scored. Sorry.
third.
That's Star scored.
Hey, we're running a podcast here.
Yeah,
I'm
during the
just
middle
kidding.
of a playoff game.
I'm just
This
kidding.
sucks.
It's playoff hockey. We'll wrap this up quick. Yeah, no. TCU, if they sweep this weekend, they move to 13-14. At the worst, by Sarlo's standards, you're ending up 12-15 if you just win the series. That means that you have to go win two against West Virginia. West Virginia is a good team. Plus, they've got JJ Weatherholt, who can change your entire dynamic on how you pitch to him.
I don't think it's a trap weekend. I feel very confident in TC's ability. Because like you said, it is kind of a little bit of a rivalry thing where you're gonna be amped up a little bit more, your blood's gonna be going.
Right.
And maybe that's kind of what the offense needs to really get back on track. Like they're so close to being fully back right now
Right.
that I think maybe this is a good weekend for them. You're going against a starting rotation who has a combined ERA of around 6.1. Like you, the pieces are there for this to be the turnaround weekend. But this is kind of a big weekend, right? Like, if you drop 2 out of 3 to West Virginia, you got to pretty much sweep, or if you drop 2 out of 3 to Baylor, you got to pretty much sweep West Virginia.
Yep.
You sweep this weekend, you can afford to only get one win against West Virginia, which I mean, I think TCU is capable of getting more than one win, but.
I think they are. Especially if the offense continues this pattern
Yeah.
of kind of starting off the weekend hot and then not really cooling down, but at least just playing well enough to win the second game.
Yeah.
Because like we've said in that rubber match, it's just kind of whoever jumps out first, like Saturday in the second game.
Yeah. I do think it's just a big weekend. I will not be in attendance.
Not I will not
because
either,
I'm a curse.
Unfortunately.
Not because I'm a curse. But speaking of, Carson and Nate seem to think that I'm a curse because when I'm the one working the game and covering it, TCU doesn't always win. But Carson has never covered a game where TCU has lost. And it's very, very annoying.
Hey, no, we did get a loss on Saturday, so that.
But it doesn't count because they still won. Like, that's the most frustrating part.
Yeah, to you, to anybody that's viewing this, we bullied JD in our group chat.
I text Friday night, and I was like, wow, offense is really going off. And then my immediate replies were, you are never allowed back in the stadium. And then to make it worse, Barry, our editor, even said, yeah, I agree with them. And it hurt. It hurt a little bit. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit of Big 12 from this past weekend. We're not going to do a preview on this weekend, but I do want to talk a little bit of past weekend results. West Virginia swept Baylor. We just talked about that. Oklahoma State swept BYU. Kansas swept Texas Tech. Texas took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma. That's a false 2 out of 3. I've refused to believe that that Sunday game would have ended in Texas winning because they blow it. Cincinnati took 2 out of 3 from UCF, and TCU took 2 out of 3 from K-State. Kansas sweeping Tech. I called it on our preview, but
you did. You did.
That was a big series, implications-wise, right? Because when you look at the – let me look at the standings real quick. When you look at the standings, Tech is now 12-12. Kansas State's 10-11. UCF is 9-12. Baylor's 9-12. TCU's 10-14. You got a lot of teams right there in that middle part between – you got six teams between 9 and 11 wins right now. Cincinnati, Tech, Kansas State, UCF, Baylor, TCU. They're kind of looking at like Texas Tech. Let's say TCU and Baylor end up winning, you know, more games than Tech, right? Tech could be on the outside looking in simply because TCU holds a tiebreaker over them.
Yeah, they could. I mean, what's their remaining schedule?
What is
Tech? So they have
Oklahoma this weekend.
Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and then
would their last one be probably Texas? I don't think they've played Texas yet.
No, I'm looking at it right now. It's a game in Arizona.
Oh yeah, they play Arizona State.
What the heck is this? It's a and there's a booked in doubleheader. That's weird. That's super odd. Huh.
Wait, yeah,
so
wait,
I mean,
wait, the doubleheader isn't even against Arizona State.
Yeah.
It's UNLV on the first game and then Arizona State the second.
UNLV's just coming, weird. UNLV's just coming to say hi, I guess. But yeah, I mean, there's them facing Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State is big for teams like TCU and Baylor. Say Baylor somehow finds their way in as well, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if Texas loses four, or Texas Tech, if they lose 4 out of their last 6, Kansas State's no longer on the chopping block. UCF has a good opportunity to just make that Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
Even
helps
though
TCU out exponentially, like,
could be. We're like this weekend is actually going to tell us, I think, a lot, possibly the most, about who's going to be in that final. Is it 8 teams or is it 10?
I think it's 10.
I can't remember if it's 10 or 8. But yeah, I think this weekend's going to be your tell on who's a lock for it. Obviously, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia are locks for that tournament. Texas would have to pretty much get swept, I think, in both series. Same thing with Kansas and Cincinnati. They've got pretty good opportunities to make it, obviously. But yeah, from Texas Tech to TCU down there at number, was that 11? I mean, it's
TCU,
just kind of
TCU is 12th right now. All right. No, they are 11. They are
11. It's out of 13. Yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of a dogfight between those five teams. And getting the tiebreaker against Tech and K-State, that's massive. Especially if you're just trying to make that Big 12 tournament. That
Yeah.
is huge.
This is a very, very big weekend, like you
Yeah.
alluded to. I mean, not only for TCU, Big 12, mainly for TCU too, because I mean it's huge with Baylor. Like, did you got a non-conference game against Baylor in 13 days, but who cares? Because it doesn't go against your conference schedule.
Doesn't matter at all in
Yeah.
any facet.
If anything, it just hurts your RPI if you're TCU.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else? Kind of.
Real quick, who's your MVP for K-State? Who was your MVP for the weekend?
I'll let you go because I don't know. I don't want to steal yours. And I'm
Okay.
torn between three people.
I'm gonna go Luke Boyers. Not because he had the most stellar weekend at the plate, but because of his defense in right field. I counted the runs that he saved. He saved six total runs with his defense. That is nuts.
That is not the direction I thought you were going to go, and now I'm confused. Now I'm even more torn on who I want to pick because I'm going to go with a dual MVP. So I love cop outs.
Okay, that's fine.
Peyton Chenier, because he deserves a shout out, like we mentioned at the
He
beginning of this
does. Just
episode.
another pump
Yeah,
it up
it's
again for
just a
that guy.
huge, huge performance
Dude.
that we
Oh.
needed from him. And then Sam Myers, because not only was he bringing the battle weekend, but like we also talked about earlier, his defense was absurd in center field.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I mean, again, he probably saved another two runs at least.
we talked to him Tuesday night, and I asked him in the after the midweek game against DBU, like how he feel playing center field, and he said it's a little bit, different off the bat, but he said he likes playing out there, and I think
Yeah.
that he proved that. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think that'll do it for this episode. We will be back on we'll go back to two episodes next week because I think we'll have a lot to talk about.
I think
Because
so.
we'll start having to get into a little bit of postseason talks as well about what the outlook looks like and everything. So we will be back Monday night, hopefully after TCU sweep against Baylor, because who likes them? But yeah, Carson, as always, pleasure having you on, and we will talk to you guys next time.